35. I didn't realize Quetzalcoatlus came so close to the camp, I said, as I watched the massive bird snapping Samlin out of the river. We were several miles upriver from the camp, but even still, I'd have expected to have to travel much farther to find them. But unlike most pterosaurs and whatnot, they didn't actually live near oceans, preferring to eat freshwater fish from rivers and lakes, as well as rodents and dying animals. This is a good feeding area for them, Thera said, as she crept forward through the foliage, her massive club in one hand. It was crazy watching how easily she could move through the brush and make no sound. I mean, I was no slacker when it came to stealth, but she was crazily impressive. And you don't worry about, I don't know, them attacking your tribe members or carrying away children? I stared at the massive birds as they dive-bombed the Samlin. The smallest one had to be around 170 kilograms, and the bigger ones seemed easily double or triple that with 30-foot wingspans.
They are not quite that brave, Thera said as she looked at me. A bigger one might be able to take a very small child in its claws and fly away, but that would also involve them attacking a village full of creatures much larger than their prey.
She gestured at the birds.
They are mostly opportunistic hunters and scavengers.
Ah, I mused as I watched them. That makes sense.
Once we get closer, we will have to be careful. Quetzalcoatlus is easily spooked. And if that happens, they will fly across the whole of the world before they touch down again. And unfortunately, we don't have the means to chase them through the air.
Thera nodded toward the clearing.
We will go up to the foliage at the edge and wait for our chance.
Okay, I said, as I edged up along her. It seemed to take forever, mostly because I wanted to watch the magnificent ancient birds do their thing. It was scary in a way I'd not often experienced back on Earth, because the sight of these massive predators was something else entirely. What happened if they swarmed and attacked with those freakishly huge claws and beaks? I shook my head. I wanted no part of that. Hell, I didn't even like dealing with angry cuckoos in Legend of Zelda.
So, what we will need to do is throw a bola, Thera said, as she produced the object from her pouch. It was exactly what she claimed it to be, two heavy stones attached by a piece of rope. Hopefully, we will bind them up long enough to run in and crack its skull open.
How often does that work? I asked as I looked at the bola. It really didn't seem heavy enough to keep a Quetzal down, assuming you didn't wrap one of its wings.
Not often with Quetzalcoatlus, but it works well with pteranodons because they are smaller. We will need to pray for luck and hope we get a wing.
She gave me a determined look.
I've done it before.
I believe you, I said, as I watched her ready the bola. Or, and hear me out, we don't do that. She gave me a confused look. I smiled at her. How about we just kill one from here? I gestured at the dinosaurs. They're not that high level, really, mostly green and light yellows. She looked more confused. Right, never mind. Just, like, what happens if you hit them in the head?
It is very hard to hit them in the head with a rock or a spear.
Thera shrugged.
I have not seen it done. The bola is the best way.
What about with arrows, like a bow and arrow? I asked, and again received a puzzled look.
I'm not sure I know what that is, Garrett. she said after a moment. Bow and arrows?
It's, a weapon that flings tiny spears at great speeds, I replied, as I stretched out my hand and did a piss-poor job of miming shooting an arrow.
We do not have anything like that, she thought for a moment.
We do have slings we use for hurling spears. Is that what you mean?
No, I shook my head. Just, let's go back that way.
When she nodded, I headed back a few hundred feet so we wouldn't disturb the Quetzals. That was also why it was just the two of us, since they were easily spooked. Now, though, I had a better idea.
So, what is your plan, Garrett?
She looked at me hopefully.
If you have a better way of hunting Quetzalcoatlus, I would love to know it. That knowledge would be a great boon to my people.
Right. Okay, I said, as I summoned my highest-level hobgoblin archer from my auric pocket. That's a bow. I pointed at his weapon.
Oh. Thera stared at the bow. I have not seen anything like that, though its construction seems simple enough.
She moved closer and inspected the hobgoblin's weapon further.
But where is the pointy part?
She looked back at me.
You said it throws tiny spears.
Show her an arrow, I said, and the hobgoblin hurried to comply, quickly pulling an arrow from his quiver and offering it to Thera, who took it carefully. She spent a few moments looking at it before handing it back to the hobgoblin.
I am surprised we have not come up with something like that. It seems little more than wood and twine.
She seemed annoyed.
How does it work?
Actually, don't feel bad. It took a long time for the people on my planet to invent bows and arrows. It came way, way after spears. I smiled at her. When we get back, I'll have one of my archers sit down with the weapon maker so he can learn how to make them.
I would appreciate that, she said,
before she gestured at a tree a little way off.
Now, I would like to see a demonstration.
Okay. I nodded to the hobgoblin.
Hit that tree with a stealth shot.
I pointed to a tree that was about the same distance as we would be to the Quetzals. The summon complied, loosing an arrow that shot through the air, silent and deadly. It struck the tree with enough force to bury itself to the halfway point in the tree's trunk.
So, yeah, will something like that work? I asked, as Thera stared wide-eyed at the tree.
Then, she made her way forward and examined the tree with the arrow stuck inside it. When she turned to me, she had a huge smile on her face.
I think this will definitely hit, assuming your summon can hit the Quetzal.
She frowned.
Can he hit something like that?
Can you? I asked the hobgoblin honestly.
It is likely that I can hit it.
He nodded.
Shooting game is why I became an archer.
He smirked.
Well, that, getting to kill my enemies from a distance before they knew what happened.
He grinned. Right. I nodded, and then summoned 16 more archers. Coordinate on the same one, and be sure to bring it down. Let me know when you're in position. As they moved away, I pinged Queenie over the link. You busy?
I am just helping the villagers process Samlin, Master. Do you require my assistance?
Queenie asked.
Yeah, actually. I'm going to summon you to me. Let me know when you're ready to come.
Just give me a few moments, Master, she replied.
And I nodded, though she couldn't see it before turning to Thera. I'm going to have Queenie come too, If, for some reason, we don't down the bird, maybe she can fly after it and take one down. Only, as I finished speaking, Thera was giving me a strange look. What?
Nothing, Thera said as she smiled at me. I just forget that you're not really like me, like us. You have so many tools at your disposal, and so much knowledge.
She gestured at the forest where the hobgoblins had ventured.
You just summon creatures to help you, and they all have such useful skills.
Well, it's not really that. I mean, it is nice to have them, but knowing how to use them is a thing. I started to get embarrassed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She gave me a kiss on the cheek.
I'm glad you're on our side.
Me too, I said, as Queenie pinged me.
I am ready to go now, Master. Sorry I was not quicker.
It's no problem, I said, summoning her to my side. Man, being able to move my summons to me was a great skill. How are you?
I am well, Master, she nodded. What is it you require of me?
I am going to have the archers launch an attack on one of the Quetzals. I shot the picture of my plan to her over the link. If they fail, I need you to take it down. You're authorized to use your final sting.
Understood, Master, Queenie said. I'll go now.
Then she hustled forward and disappeared into the brush.
I suppose we should join them, Thera said, as she watched the Ant Queen go. You make it seem so easy, but this is a big deal. Taking down a Quetzalcoatlus, I mean...
Yeah, I sort of figured that, I smirked. We're just really good at taking down crazy strong monsters after the last world. It was filled with monsters. I paused a beat. Actually, you saw one of them. The Sharktopus I summoned during the battle with the oranges.
That creature will live in my nightmares for many nights to come.
Thera shivered.
I'm not sure how you overcame such a creature, but the fact that you did speaks volumes. Perhaps when compared to that, a Quetzalcoatlus isn't a big deal.
She gave me a peck on the cheek before hustling off.
Now come. I wish to see your plan in action.
Right, I said, as I followed after her. And once I got to the edge of the clearing, I shot a quick round-robin ping to all my hobgoblins to confirm they were in position and targeting the same bird. After that, I made sure Queenie was ready. And once she acknowledged me with a, "Yes, Master," I ordered their attack. An instant later, arrows burst from all directions and slammed into the closest Quetzal, a medium-sized bird with bright red feathers. The creature shrieked in pain and tried to rise, its great wings flapping, but it seemed to struggle on the fact that it had over a dozen arrows lodged into various parts of its body. The other birds took off in a flurry of wings as my archers launched a second volley at the Quetzal. And as it flailed around, blood streaming from its massive body, Queenie burst from the foliage, dagger in hand. She smashed into the Quetzal's face, dagger first, like a fucking wrecking ball that basically reduced its skull to pink mist.
Your summoned creatures have killed creature, Quetzalcoatlus.
The attack reminded me of when she'd taken out the forest giants what felt like forever ago in the bazaar when we'd fought against Gobta. Only this time, well, we weren't quite fighting for our lives. That would come later, when we dealt with Titania. Now, though, it was time to claim my prize.
Wow,
Thera mumbled to herself as I strode from the bushes and moved toward the downed flying dinosaur creature.
"I have killed it as you asked, Master,"
Queenie said, as she smiled brightly at me, which was made all the crazier because she was covered in gore.
"Would you like me to summon some ants to process the body?"
"In a minute," I said, as I used auric extraction on the corpse. "Thank you, by the way. You were awesome."
Pattern. Quetzalcoatlus has been learned. Would you like to create a Quetzalcoatlus?
I did, but that could wait a moment. "Okay, Queenie, you can clean up the corpse now." I nodded to Thera. "Anything in particular we should know about them before we cut it up?"
"Yes, actually, but I can work with Queenie on it."
Thera lifted her club.
"That way, you can do whatever it is you do with the bodies to make your summons."
"Okay, sounds good." I nodded to the two of them, then ordered a pair of hobgoblins to collect the arrows they'd shot. Once that was done, I dismissed the rest of the archers and looked at the character sheet for the Quetzal, which was when I realized it was a lot weaker than I'd given it credit for, because the one I could summon would only be able to carry about 200 pounds or so, and that was a lot less than we required. It sort of made sense, but was disappointing, since I'd hoped they'd have been as strong as they had been in Ark. But that was just a video game, and this was... I opted not to finish that thought, and instead summoned my Quetzal. "Hey, Red," I said, as I walked up to the ancient beast and put my hand on its snout. "How are you?" It didn't really respond, so much as it delicately lowered its head for a bob. "I'm sorry to have killed you, but see, my friends and I need a ride across the world, and we were hoping you could help." I patted its shoulder. "Would it be okay if I tried to ride you?" In response, the massive bird lowered itself down so I could climb on its back. I'll be honest, I was a bit scared as I climbed on, not because I was worried it would buck me off or anything, but more because I could fall and die once we were in the air. Still, I mitigated that as best I could and used a couple of loops of rope to make a makeshift harness to keep myself on the bird's back. Then, I pumped a bit of extra aura into the creature to make it stronger. Once I'd temporarily moved its weight limit up another 50 or so pounds by expending half my aura, I waved to my friends. "Here goes nothing," I called. And as they all looked at me, I commanded Red to fly. The Quetzal leapt into the air, and I held on to my harness for all I was worth as it took to the sky and did a sort of lazy circle around the clearing. I'll be honest, it was the best thing I'd ever done, and also the most terrifying. However, I learned what I most wanted to learn. Because of the problem with the weight, being in the air constantly sapped my aura, which meant that while we'd be able to fly for a while, we'd definitely have to stop periodically to regen, which was still a hell of a lot better than walking through said jungle. I took another couple loops and then landed in the clearing to find Thera standing there, wide-eyed.
"I cannot believe you can fly like that," Thera said in awe.
"Well, how would you like a ride back?" I asked her as I summoned another Quetzal.
"You mean I can ride it as well?"
She stared at the new creature. "That's the plan, right? Anyone who comes to help us save the Orange Village will have to fly." I watched her, worried that this might be too much.
"Yes!"
Thera cried. And before I could blink, she had launched herself onto the Quetzal's back. What do I do? She asked as she looked at me. First, rope it like I did, I said, and then dismounted Red so I could show her. Once she was securely roped in, I turned to Queenie. Care to join us?
I will if you command it, Master, she hedged. But I would prefer to stay here until we're done processing the Quetzal in the way Thera would like. I will join you after, if that's okay.
It's fine. I nodded to her. Let me know when you're ready to return, and I'll summon you or you can fly back, whatever you want.
Thank you, Master, she said with a bow. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Right, I said as I smiled at her. Then I looked up at Thera, who was watching us intensely. What?
It is strange how you ask her opinions when you can just order her to do whatever you like. Most would not do that.
Thera shrugged.
It is how I know you are a worthy man to follow.
Aw, thanks, I said, suddenly embarrassed. So, you ready to fly?
Yes,
Thera replied, as I mounted Red and tied myself in. Well, then let's go. I mentally commanded the Quetzals to take off and fly us back to camp, and honestly, I was glad they knew what to do with that information, because the way Thera hooted and hollered with joy as we flew was so endearing that I'd scarcely noticed the journey. Hell, I probably wouldn't have noticed we'd landed if not for the members of the Blue Palm Clan hooting and hollering at our arrival.
Garrett requires us to face the threat attacking the Orange Clan, Thera cried as she leapt from the back of her Quetzal. Prepare the supplies for war.
She gestured at me.
For he has tamed the skies, and we will take the fight to our enemies and let the rivers run with their blood.
Then, as everyone cheered and ran to comply with her orders, she practically pulled me off Red, and the moment my feet hit the ground, she kissed me. The next few moments were a blur of movement as we stumbled back toward her hut. To be honest, I'm not sure how or when I'd lost my clothes, but all I knew was that Thera was beautiful, and her body was pressed to mine.